inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Waldman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. Actually, for joining me today. We're just beginning. Anyway, great to have you with me. I'm going to be sharing with you today what I think is the best interview I've ever been a part of. And I've been doing this 20-something years now, thousands of interviews where I've interviewed other people for wall builders. I'm talking World War II vets. I'm talking senators, congressmen, presidential candidates, you name it. You know, the people arguing before the Supreme Court, champions at the local level, you name it. Interviewed a ton of them, done a ton of interviews myself where I'm the guest. I think this is the best one that I've ever been a part of. And in this case, I'm actually interviewing someone. It's a someone that you may not even recognize the name of. So this is not a, you know, presidential candidate, but she's a champion. She is an absolute warrior for truth. And I've actually had her on the program before. She just won a massive case in defense of free speech and the First Amendment. And she's someone that deserves our thanks and our prayers. Her family has been put through the ringer for the last 4 years, just absolutely nearly destroyed. But the Lord just held her up. Her joy was absolutely incredible through the whole thing. And I'm just so proud of her. She's one of our Constitution coaches at Patriot Academy. Her name is Joy Lynn Massaris. This was a huge case where the entire Biden machine, Kamala Harris machine, the Democrat machine, the anti-free speech machine tried to shut her family down and silence not only them, but anybody else that would dare to show up at a political rally or let their voices be heard or exercise their freedom of religion, their freedom of speech, their freedom of the press, their right to assemble, their right to petition their government for a redress of grievances. I mean, they hate the Constitution and the First Amendment. They hate anyone that opposes their totalitarian reign. And Joy Lynn Massaris stood in their way as a part of the Trump train. They went up I-35 through San Marcos, and all they did was wave flags and express their support of President Trump way back in 2020. And this case has dragged on for 4 months. None of us expected her to win at the district court level. It's a Austin, you know, city of Austin, left wing, terrible judge that we fully expected. I mean, it had been ruling in the plaintiff's favor through the whole thing, never once for the defendants on any motion or anything. And the jury saw through it. And so this is just a great victory. I'm looking forward to sharing it with you here on At the Core. Now, I'm actually going to do something I've never done. I'm going to share the entire Tavern episode because I talk about it up front in the Tavern episode. And then it's a good interview with Joy Lynn. And I don't want you to miss any of it. And so I'm going to share the whole thing with you. And it's going to take me today's program and this coming Thursday's program. So if you're going to miss part of the day, it'll be available on our At the Core website. And then if for some reason you're going to be out Thursday and not be able to catch this, it'll be available on the website there later. Or you can go to patriotacademy.tv, and it is the latest Tavern episode. And normally you have to be a Patriot U subscriber to watch the Tavern. This episode I'm putting there for free because it is so good and so important. And what's so important about it is you are going to realize that David can defeat Goliath still today. That we can take on the behemoth of the federal government, of the Democrat machine, of the silencing, the communist Marxist trying to silence all of us. We can win. We can win. They did so in this case against overwhelming odds. So I want you to listen to the whole thing, and I want you to be encouraged. And go watch it, because there is part of it that is hard. It's going to be hard for you to get it over radio. I'm just telling you. There's an emotional part to this at the very end of the interview with Joy Lynn. In fact, we thought the recording had stopped. We thought we ended the interview, thought the recording was stopped, and just got really personal about what they had been through as a family. And it's powerful. It's incredibly powerful, and it's hopeful. It'll give you hope for the future. All right, let's jump in. This is Tavern episode number, I think it's number 49, and it's going to be the whole episode. Tavern episode 49. And for those of you, the first time listeners, maybe you'd wonder why I call it the Tavern. It's because of the role taverns played in the Revolutionary period. It was the place where so much happened. The Constitution was ratified first in a tavern in Delaware. That's why it's called the first state. It was first state to ratify the Constitution. It was done in a tavern. the Sons of Liberty met in taverns, that George Washington bid farewell to his officers in a tavern. I mean, there's just so many great stories from these taverns. It was not what you're thinking of sometimes today when we think of, you know, drunken brawls or whatever. Not like that. It was literally just a place of gathering, and kind of a, you know, place where people could come together and discuss the revolutionary strategies and tactics to launch a nation. And so you can be a part of that by watching our show, The Tavern, where we try to capture those conversations once again. And you know, it's you got to subscribe to Patriot U normally, but this episode you can get it right now for free. So go to patriotacademy.tv. That's patriotacademy.tv, and click on that Patriot U episode. The Tavern episode there on Patriot U, number 49, with Joy Lynn Massaris. Now, we're going to share the entire audio with you here on At the Core, but I'm just telling you, some of it just visually seeing her expressions and just capturing it, it's pretty special. But listen right now and then watch it later and share it with as many people as you possibly can, because I'm telling you, we need more of this. Absolutely need more of this. All right, let's jump over to The Tavern with Joy Lynn Massaris.
All that was up for grabs here is money, but we don't have any because they've completely bankrupted us through this process. So then you're left asking yourself, what is it that they actually want? We knew they were circumventing the Constitution. We knew they were infringing on free speech rights. We knew that they didn't want us to exist in the same space with them with an opinion that doesn't align with their narrative. Rick, we heard what we've been waiting for years to hear.
You have paid the price for the freedom you're feeling right now. So you don't esteem it lightly at all. You value it.
And you're right. I didn't realize that that was freedom that felt so good today.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh my gosh.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. I just didn't realize that. What they had taken for so long. I'm sorry.
No, that's why we fight. That's why we fight. Welcome to The Tavern. I'm obviously not in The Tavern. I'm at the Patriot Academy campus today in the William Wilberforce Committee Room. And so audio is going to be a little bit wonky. We don't have our studio built yet. If you'd like to contribute to building that studio, please donate at patriotacademy.com. We're getting close. But anyway, so I'm having a film from the campus. We got a great constitutional defense course going right now. You might even hear some of the gunshots. So folks are out there training as I speak. But I had to record today because we have a massive victory, folks. This is a huge victory, and there is one person that has fought the good fight so incredibly well, full of joy. I don't want to give her all the credit. Her husband and her son have been right by her side fighting with her, but there's just something about the spirit, the warrior spirit that this gal has. We've had her in the tavern a couple of times. She has been over the target and taking flak for 4 years under significant attack. It's until you have the boot of government on your neck, until you have the boot of a massive machine trying to destroy your life, it's just impossible to understand what it takes to stand up against that. I've been there, and so I get it. And I have such immense respect for the Massaris family and what they've gone through over this absurd lawsuit trying to destroy their lives, along with several other defendants, but they've been the focal point. And Joy Lynn Massaris has been the one to lead this fight and refuse to back down and to scratch and claw and do whatever it took to gather the resources and to raise the money and to find people that could help her for 4 years, fighting against a massive machine, fighting against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and their entire Democrat machine. So, folks, this is a tavern episode you do not want to miss, and you want to share it with everybody you can, because it's going to give them hope that we can win in the fight, even when you're David against Goliath, even when you have the weight of this the entire machine against you, and it feels like almost no one is standing with you, that if you will stand firm, if you will stand up, if you will stand on truth, you can win. And so I'm going to set this up with, I've told the story several times here in the tavern, so too bad if you're tired of it. I wish I had my Captain America watch that Tristan Gazelle gave me. I wish I had that on today. But this is the moment where someone was willing to say exactly what Captain America told Spider-Man to say in the Civil War book back from the 1980s in the comic book. And Spider-Man says to him, I know you're laughing at me because I'm being so serious right now about Spider-Man and Captain America, but the example is perfect for the real serious losing the First Amendment. I mean, the seriousness of not having free speech in a nation means you go to tyranny. You cannot avoid tyrannical control and totalitarianism if you don't have free speech, if you don't have the ability to assemble, if you don't have a free press. If your First Amendment rights are gone, everything else will be gone. This is why the Enabling Acts in Germany had to be done. This is why Hitler had to get rid of those things before he could become a tyrannical chancellor and actually implement the sick, evil tyranny that he did. You have to get rid of free speech and freedom of assembly and political competition in order to do those things. And that's what the left has been doing, not only with what they've done to the J6ers, but what they're doing in the civil realm, going after people like Joey Lynn Massaris. So back to Spider-Man and Captain America. So Captain America and Spider-Man. Spider-Man says to Captain America, what do you do when the whole world turns against you? What do you do when the very people you're trying to defend are against you and telling you that you're evil? What do you do when the mob and the press and the everybody's against you? And Captain America famously says, it doesn't matter if the whole world says that something wrong is right. When the mob and the press and the everybody is telling you something wrong is right, and they're telling you to move from what's right to what's wrong. He said, when that happens, your job is to plant yourself by the river of truth. I love that line. Plant yourself by the river of truth and say, no, you move. That's your job. That's your job as a person that loves freedom. That's your job as someone that cares about the future of our country. When the whole world is telling us that disinformation, misinformation has to be regulated by those in power who know best, the ministry of truth, as George Orwell would have put it. When the whole world is telling you that it's moral to murder babies, that it's moral to allow a baby that has survived an abortion and is born, it's moral to let that baby die instead of giving it care. That it's moral to chop the breast off of a young girl because she's confused. That it's moral to castrate boys because they're confused by the lies that you've told them. When people are doing that and saying that what is wrong is right, we have to be willing to stand up and say, no, you move. We're standing firm on truth. And Joan Lynn Massaris did that. For 4 years, she fought this fight. And she led the charge, and she wouldn't let everybody else cave. Most people did, but there were six defendants still standing at the time this thing finally went to trial. And we're going to hear the whole story when we come back from the break, because victory in an Austin, Texas left-wing court with a left-wing crazy judge that has been awful, gets overturned all the time. Anyway, I don't want to go into all that, but the odds of her winning were essentially 99-1. I didn't think they would win. We'd already talked about it here in the tavern. She's going to lose at the trial court level. We got to get this to the Fifth Circuit, and that's where we'll win. And then eventually, if we have to, all the way to the Supreme Court. And they won. God parted the Red Sea, folks. This is hope for America. This is hope for the First Amendment. This is hope for free speech. This is hope for you in whatever battle you're fighting, where you feel like you're David against Goliath. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's a health issue you're dealing with. Maybe it's political in your community, or maybe it's just what you're seeing in the nation right now. This is hope for America. This is hope for you. You're going to love this story. Stay with me. Grab your favorite drink, whatever it is today. Welcome to the tavern. We'll be right back with Joey Lynn Massaris.
All right, folks, we're going to jump back into that tavern episode. And when we come back from the break, I just wanted to make sure if you tuned in the middle of the segment that you kind of knew what was going on here. What we're doing is I'm sharing an episode that just it was supposed to air tonight, actually, but it was so timely. Joey Lynn won her suit last Tuesday, and it was such a big deal that I wanted to get it out as quick as possible. So we did the interview that day, got the tavern edited that night, got it out the next day. So it was released last week at the end of the week. And then I wanted to bring it to you here at the core as soon as I possibly could. And so we're actually listening to the full tavern episode with Joey Lynn Massaris. It's free at our website. If you go to patriotacademy.tv, our regular website is patriotacademy.com. But if you go to patriotacademy.tv, that's Patriot U. That's our streaming service. Most of the stuff on there, it's behind the paywall. You got to subscribe. It's nothing, a few bucks a month. But this episode, I wanted it to be free for anyone and everyone to share it, get the word out there. I'm telling you, when we come back in the break, you'll get the interview itself, and you're going to be moved. And we're not going to get it all in today, so you need to tune in this coming Thursday to get the entire episode, or you can go to patriotacademy.tv and watch the whole thing right now and actually see it on video as well. But this is all meant to give you courage and to challenge you to look for your particular battle that you need to fight for free speech and freedom of religion and all these things that we hold dear, due process, the things that made America great in the first place, the biblical principles of liberty. So I'm encouraging you to listen today with an eye towards what you can do in your community. And one of those things you can do is, like Joey Lynn, be a Constitution coach with Patriot Academy. So check that out today. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Mark Wobbin and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me today. We got Joey Lynn Massaros in the Tavern. That's the interview that we're sharing with you in the entirety, today and on Thursday. And so the first segment today was the opening to that particular episode to kind of set up what's been going on here and what Joey Lynn has had to fight for the last 4 years. And now we're going to get into the interview with her. Right before the interview, what you're going to hear next is actually a minute or two of a mini episode, if you will, about our Constitution Coach program. Was part of the Tavern episodes, kind of the commercial break between the two, but I was going to cut it out, and then I thought, no, you know what? Everybody out there that's listening, just like I was saying right before we went to break, needs to be looking for what you can do. Where is your fight? What can you do locally to restore liberty? And being a Constitution coach is the easiest thing I can encourage you to do. It's not that it's easy to fight for liberty, but we make it plug and play, man. You can become a Constitution host immediately. You don't have to know anything. You just invite people in, and we do that for free. So I'm going to go ahead and include that. We'll hear that first, and then we'll be right into the interview with Joey Lynn from that Tavern episode. Again, if you want to watch the whole thing, go to patriotacademy.tv today, and you can see the entire interview. And if not, just listen today throughout At the Core, and then on Thursday we'll have the conclusion of that interview. All right, let's jump right back in to the Tavern.
Kendrick Davis, I am the state ambassador for the great sunny state of Colorado. In 2012, I decided I wanted to learn the Constitution. The best way to do so was with other people, so I started a small group. 2 weeks into me starting this small group and trying to create my own curriculum, I came across the Constitution Alive curriculum and took it back to my group. We began our first Constitution Alive class that has carried through till today, 3 to 4 times a year since 2012. In late 2020, he reached out to me about recording a new curriculum for biblical citizenship in modern America. And so on December 13th, I flew out to California, took part in the recording of that. Fast forward 3 years later, Rick reached out to me and asked me about if I would come on and be a part of what you guys are doing here. Your coach program is just people like me. It's just average people when we learn together about our founding documents. In Constitution Alive, Rick said, if we could get 1 million people to go through this class, we could turn America back around. And I just believed it. I always say my classes were birthed out of my own ignorance because I didn't know the Constitution. This is all about iron sharpening iron, and so we're all learning together. I love this nation. I believe this is the greatest country on the face of the earth. The Bible talks about times when the Israelites, the Hebrews, did not know the Lord. We're in a situation now as a nation where so many people don't know what our founding documents say. Well, to understand the heart of those who have founded this country, we need to continually go back and learn the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence. And because we're not exercising our authority, man will take power. And that's what we're seeing in Washington, D.C. It's what we're seeing in our state houses. It's what we're seeing in our city councils. And it's because people have forgotten who the boss is, as my good friend Ken Ivory says. They've forgotten who the boss is, and it's time for us as citizens to be reminded of who the boss is.
We're back here in the Tavern. Joey Lynn Massaros back with us, and right after the trial, this is the day after,
we got great news, folks. Great news. But I don't want to tell you. I want Joy Lynn to tell you. God bless you, Joy Lynn. Good to have you back. Thanks for coming back on the Tavern. You probably don't even have a mug with you. I don't have my Tavern mug. I'm out at the campus. I got just a regular old. Oh, at least you have something to drink. I was wishing I had my Biden is the worst mug that you gave me, but it's back at home and I'm out at the campus. Anyway, God bless you. Glad to have you back.
Oh, man, I wouldn't rather be anywhere else today. You guys were the first to cover the story. You sure ought to be the first to be celebrating with us. Our Patriot Academy family has army crawled with us across the finish line. We even had Constitution coaches in the courtroom with us over the last 2.5 weeks from across the United States.
Wow.
People flew in. Rick, we heard what we've been waiting for years to hear. We heard that we were not guilty. And it was an ever-loving miracle because I'm going to tell you today.
You're in Austin. Rigged. Yeah, I mean, it's a rigged trial. I got your text and I didn't believe it. I was like, no, wait. She's not the Fifth Circuit yet. She's still in that horrible Austin, you know, crazy land court. There's no way.
I
cannot wait to hear this whole thing. All right.
It was that bad that they brought this case that even in Austin, they could see through the expert witnesses they hired. They gagged us. They had these motions in limine that prevented us from speaking about key components of this case. The judge ruled in favor of every blessed thing the plaintiffs asked for and objected every single thing we asked for. They watered down the First Amendment. We were not allowed to reference the Constitution. It was the biggest joke I've ever seen in my life, but the jury saw through it.
No kidding. That's shocking. And now the first part's not because, you know, I went up for Rebecca's trial, same thing, you know, all the ridiculous stuff that they did to limit what the jury was going to get.
Yep.
And so I expected your jury to, you know, only get half the story when it was all said and done and not see through it. They typically don't. So they came back. I guess walk me through. Let's back up. Let's go to the beginning of the trial because this has been almost, well, it's 4 years now, right? Right at 4 years. Yeah.
4 years.
4 years in the making. They've done everything. For any of you watching that did not watch the, you know, the last couple times I've had Joy Lynn on, go watch those either all the way back to the Front Porch Live or in the Tavern. But if you don't know her story, just absurd what happened here. A non-involved political, not politically involved, for the first time in her life involved, and literally just drives in a parade, a Trump-trained parade, waving flags, and ends up for the last 4 years having her life turned upside down. All the financial pressure, all the lawsuits, called everything in the book. The president of the United States, you know, blaming you for an insurrection. I mean, it's just unreal the things that you and your family have gone through. And praise God. Thank God that you went through it because I've watched you turn into an absolute warrior, an absolute giant for the cause and for the kingdom that you would not have been turned into that without going through the fire. So the fire has refined you, Joy Lynn, to become the warrior that God's sharpened. I mean, you're literally like that sword in the old Marine commercial, you know, where they're heating it up and beating on it and sharpening it. And then it becomes this finely tuned instrument. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do with you. But okay, I had to say all that. Now,
Thank you.
Us back. The trial itself, let's assume people know at least that you know, they're I guess they were after, for you specifically, it's not criminal, it's civil. So were they just after financial damages? What were they trying to get from you?
Yes. So you're right. Because it's civil, all that was up for grabs here is money. But we don't have any because they've completely bankrupted us through this process. So then you're left asking yourself, what is it that they actually want? And Rick, it was so obvious throughout the whole trial that what they want is to shut down the Trump train. They want to shut down a giant display of support for President Trump. We predicted this all along. We knew they were circumventing the Constitution. We knew they were infringing on free speech rights. We knew that they didn't want us to exist in the same space with them with an opinion that doesn't align with their narrative. But it just became so abundantly clear that that is what they were after. Went to this elaborate effort to paint us as a conspiracy. Because the Ku Klux Klan law they brought against us. So for anybody who doesn't know, we were sued under the Ku Klux Klan law for 4 years civilly, where they're claiming they have emotional damage from our exercise of free speech. And in order to meet the basic requirements of this Ku Klux Klan law, you either have to prove a racial animus, motivation based on race, or you have to prove some sort of conspiracy to intimidate by threat or force somebody from supporting a political candidate.
And you were wearing like white pointy hats and carrying had burning crosses in the back of your truck and right? No.
Well, no. Despite the fact that they hired graphic artists to portray us that way in artwork they used to fundraise on their websites. Wow. No, we never did. But guess what? That was another motion in limine that was approved by the judge that we were not able to point out to the jury or talk about. We were not able to shed a bad light on them or to portray the way that they portrayed us in the media for years. And so, no, we were just average Americans driving in a Trump train, exercising free speech the same way that so many other Americans did. And we're just the lucky ducks that they hand selected. We know through going through this process, they hired a private investigative firm, a monster firm that essentially cherry picked us after doing background checks and researching our, everything about us from our employment status, our income status, right? And then they're like, this one, not that one, that one. And that's how they picked us. We also know, Rick, that they cherry picked their plaintiffs. The plaintiffs did not call the nonprofits and say, we have emotional damage from these Trump supporters driving next to us. The plaintiff's attorneys, the counsel, called them and said, do you want in on this case?
Rick, we learned that they essentially created what they thought was going to be their most successful odds at winning. They shopped for the defendants. They hired a monster PI, private investigative firm, to shop us with background checks to look into our private lives, our income, and they cherry picked us. Yes, them. No, not them. Yes, them. And then they called and reached out to the plaintiffs. The attorneys in these law firms said, we have a case if you want in. It's not like these plaintiffs called them and said, we have emotional damage and we need help. No, they were shopped for.
They weren't ambulance chasers. They were bus chasers. They were political operative chasers. Yeah.
That's it. It's political, emotional whiplash that they're claiming to have, right? That they've exactly, these headhunters have gone out and then they've hired expert witnesses to study us for a year and a half to portray us as political extremists, threats to democracy, white supremacist tendencies. And they're using these experts were ushered in, by the way, into the trial, but the expert witness that the defense counsel tried to bring was denied. Okay, so you're still just getting one side of an expert story. And then they've got these motions in limine that are preventing us from talking about the death threats we're receiving, the hate mail, the way that they portrayed us in the media, the way that they have lied about the details of this case. The facts that they tried to portray us as destroying evidence because they waited a year to bring this lawsuit and some people's phones fell in the river or some people, they just painted us in the worst possible light that they could.
Yep.
And then they gagged us from speaking about the fact that they tried to force us to settle, what the conditions of that were, that the key plaintiff dropped the case and walked away. So not only was he not required by the judge to testify in this lawsuit, even though we tried to subpoena him, we couldn't even mention him in the lawsuit. The jury had this much of the story, and yet still truth prevailed.
Wow. It's one side, they literally paint a false picture and you're not allowed to say it's a false picture and here's the evidence of why it's false. And yet somehow the jury figured it out. You and I have had this conversation offline as a lover of justice and the law and all of those things. It makes me so angry when you can't present your case, when you can't say, everybody's supposed to get their day in court and you're supposed to say, here's one side, here's the other side. Okay, jury, decide. And the fact that you're literally like choked out and booed on your neck as you're trying to tell your side of the story. And yet the jury still saw
it. I cried out of sheer frustration when I was on the witness stand because I was restricted to yes or no answers only. You're probably familiar with this, with the sidebar, and then all the attorneys go to the side of the judge's desk, and then there's this sound, this shh. So
they put white noise on. It's the goofiest thing. I don't know when they started doing this. They did that at Rebecca's trial, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's the white noise I go to sleep to, and I start nodding off.
Sounds like my sound machine.
Yes.
So it was Pavlov's dog.
Yes.
Robert and I are like, sidebar, shh. And then we like joke. But, you know, I was on the stand at every 30 seconds. Objection, sidebar, you know, and then it's like, you're only going to be allowed to answer yes or no, because I was so prepared, Rick. I was 4 years ready to unravel that narrative and give the truth to the jury. And they were furious that I wanted to expand to elaborate on my answers.
You wanted to expound and expand. Yes.
Yes. Right. And they wouldn't have it. And Ms. Massaros, this isn't one of your press releases. You'll have your chance to speak when your attorney comes up. So, okay. So I have to answer yes or no to the questions they're asking me, which are set up to be answered in the way that benefits them. Right.
Right.
And so,
right.
And I literally said that. I'm like, you know, I'm still mouthing off, even though they don't want me to speak. And so, objection, objection, that's three strikes. I'm like, how many strikes what am I striking out on? Like, what's going to happen? Is it a mistrial? Like,
another at bat?
Right. And so, you know, then I'm like, fine, I don't want to blow this case for everybody if we're striking down to a mistrial. I don't know what's happening here. So, you know, then their plaintiffs come finish, and then my attorney comes up to do the cross-examination, and then they're objecting to everything he's asking me. Then there's another sidebar, and he comes back and he's like, okay, you're going to have to answer yes or no only, even to my attorney.
Unbelievable.
Which is completely insane to me. And then the questions that they were asking me at the next cross-examination point, because then they come back up, they knew I couldn't answer them. So they asked the question. I'm like, I'm very confused, because I know if I begin to answer this, you're going to object. I look at the judge. He says to go ahead. I answer it. And then they yell object. Objection. And then at the ultimate end of my testimony on the witness stand, the judge told me that was enough. And that's what concluded my testimony.
Wow.
Meanwhile, their expert witness is up there for 8 hours giving a college lecture on white supremacist tendency. And
no way.
Essentially that nobody has to be in any kind of agreement or communication to engage in a conspiracy. So they're saying they don't have to prove anything to prove that we were in a conspiracy. And they have this expert who's paid hundreds of thousands of dollars who's up there saying that's true, because collective action. So essentially, and our homeschool parents and our constitution coaches will know this, but that circular reasoning, it's my definition. Well, because I said, well, that's because,
right.
And you can never get outside of that psychotic loop where they create their own rules and say things like, well, my truth.
Quick break, everybody. Stay with us. Our guest is Joey Lynn Massaros. This incredible interview about this great victory. David can still defeat Goliath, and you're going to defeat Goliath in your life as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wild and Rick Green.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me today. In our final segment, we're going to catch more of that interview with Joey Lynn Massaros when she joined me in the tavern just a few days ago after her tremendous victory against a lawfare that has been trying to silence Americans who have an opposite political perspective and persuasion than the communist. And this is such a big victory for her and her family, but also for all of us and for the Constitution itself. So let's jump right back in where we left off with Joey Lynn Massaros.
And so, you know, it's like, dear God, is the jury going to buy this? I mean, because they spared no expense, Rick, in portraying us as an absolute menace to society. We had reporters there that were calling us terrorists with cameras in our faces on breaks. And they're going in and meeting with the plaintiffs on break. Talk about having the media in your pocket. I digress.
No kidding. No, that's the stuff that nobody's going to hear anywhere else. So it's vital to tell the whole story. I don't even know where to go with all that. I mean, there's so much about it that is just the antithesis of what we think of as the American jurisprudence system. And there's so much work that's going to have to be done on that and to change that. I'm hoping that we're reaching this critical mass where, because of what they're doing to, Sarah McAbee, who we had on a couple weeks ago, who you introduced me to, and Rebecca Loverance, and all these other cases. I mean, there's just so many injustices that are happening that as people hear the stories, they'll know changes have to happen here. And these changes will have to happen in the legislatures and in Congress and in the law schools. Like, homeschool parents, send your kids to law schools, but send them to Liberty and to Regent. Don't send them to these left-wing schools. We have to raise up a new generation of lawyers and judges so that Isaiah 1:26 happens. I'll give you lawyers at the beginning, judges at the first, then you'll be a righteous city. I know you know that one, but amen. I mean, that's critical to what to turn this thing around. You went in for – no, go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I was going to say I can't agree more. I was actually inspired through Patriot Academy's Biblical Citizenship that talked about the judges and their immunity and how before there used to be such a small margin of error to hold accountable the behavior of judges that judges can even be impeached for just being rude in the courtroom. We had our magistrate judge wrote a poem about how much he hated us and read it to us in a sanctions hearing. And he declared, so he read it at 5:00 PM and he declared right before he read it that he wrote it on his lunch break. We hadn't even finished testifying yet. We came back from lunch and testified. And then he made a decision and it was a sanctions hearing to determine if we destroyed evidence. And we're sitting up there saying, absolutely not. We did not. It took a year for us to even get subpoenaed for this lawsuit. And it was 14 months until we received the paperwork to turn over information for discovery. Nobody destroyed anything. It just, by the time you sent it, some people's Facebook pages were deleted. Some, you know, because the Facebook fact checkers, and I mean, nobody's destroying evidence to hide a conspiracy. It's just real life. And so we're trying to tell him this, but by noon, he had already written that poem and determined that we were a stain on the founding of our nation, an embarrassment to our founding fathers, a threat to democracy. We should be ashamed of ourselves. He's disgusted with us. These were words that were coming out. And he declared that he wrote that on his lunch break. And yes, he read it at 5:00. So tell me that there's not a bias there when you're making decisions. But
this is an impartial judge, Joylynn. This correct. Is an impartial judge that has no bias whatsoever to...
Because he knows he has the prideful arrogance to know that he's protected under immunity because of 1960 Civil Rights Acts. And I'm here to say no more.
Yeah.
We have had an inside access to see what people mean when they say the system is rigged. That to me has just been a generic expression or no, it is so biased and unfair. I can't believe we came out with the victory that we did. That was God's hand at work and he gave us that win. He had mercy on us and he defended our God-given rights. There was no other reason that we should have won other than God at work because they did everything in their power to ensure a victory in all the wrong ways.
Right. No doubt about it. And so let's talk about the very end, the decision. How did that go in court? Like, did they come out and did the jury foreman read the decision? Like, how did they do it? Was that an emotional, like, traumatic? I would think that would be like, I don't know.
You know, the whole thing has been traumatic. I was realizing in court that I was developing real time what would be futuristically post-traumatic stress. I could tell that there are certain words or sounds or things that would be haunting me later, that I would hear it or see it and feel like, you know, stress. I could just feel that my brain has been in fight or flight mode for 4 years and is doing everything it can to identify every possible threat and keep me safe. My nervous system has been on overdrive for far too long. And I'm praying, Lord, protect my heart and my mind so we can really recover from this when it's over. But when the jury deliberated for 2 days, which was, and we had a weekend break in between it. So for four days, we had this outrageous pit in all of our stomachs. We're forcing ourselves to be full of faith, but knowing how rigged the system was, how bound and gagged we were, literally and metaphorically, feeling hopeless, waiting for that devastating answer to only re-encourage ourselves that we'll win at the Fifth Circuit, right? Like, so we're praying, we're waiting on God, but we're trying to be reasonable. I read a proverb that was like, do your best, prepare for the worst and trust God. That's where we were at, right?
Yeah.
And so they're like, the jury has a question. We run into the courtroom and then it's just a clarifying question on a line item because it was so confusingly written to-
Oh, the instructions to the jury. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Amen, right?
Yeah.
So we go answer a question and then they go back into deliberation and then we're waiting again and we're praying. We pray in circles. The journalists were making fun of us, writing down our prayers, publishing them in their articles, saying that we're, you know, conspiracy theorists that just think we can pray our way through it. And so I hope that they see that we absolutely did pray our way through it.
Amen.
And so finally, they're like, the jury has a verdict. And everybody's just, I mean, people's bodies were literally at an angle. They were running in so fast, you know, just like you could see the smoke behind them. And so we get in there and we sit down and the jury comes out and it's like, my gosh, you know, and the first day the jury was selected, I told Robert, they don't realize our future and every American's future rests in their hands. And Robert said, Joey Lynn, no, it doesn't. It rests in God's hands. Oh, I'm like, you're right. Keep reminding me of that. And so they come out and I'm like, oh my gosh, here it is. Here it is. And I don't have experience with getting sued. I've never been in a courtroom. I've never even been to the principal's office. So I have no idea what's happening, right? Everything I learned in reverse.
I can tell you all about that another time, but go ahead. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So the jury foreman, I think is what it's called, stands up and says, Your Honor, we've reached a verdict. And he hands a piece of paper over to somebody. And then that bailiff. Person takes it to the judge. The bailiff, that's the word.
Yeah.
The bailiff takes it to the judge and the judge's jaw clenches.
Seriously.
Like, oh my gosh, Lord. Is that a victory?
Seriously. Like, oh, wow.
You know? And so, and then he hands it to a woman in front of him and says that she can read it. And so I will say, again, to quote Robert, we saw a 90% victory, Rick. There is one defendant who received fines and it's under the Ku Klux Klan law. And it has to be won on appeal in order for us to have a 100% victory.
But so, that's actually, that, and we'll talk about that in a second, because I actually think that's good, because a lot of the arguments y'all weren't able to make in court can be made in his case. I'm thinking. I haven't asked you about that yet, so I don't know if that's the case.
Yes.
And I don't know enough about which defendants are which, so I want to ask you that too.
Yes.
But go back to the reading. I want to. So she said, what does she say? Does she separate out? What is there, five of y'all? How many defendants are in the?
There were six of us. And just to recap, it's me and my husband, homeschool mom plumber. It's a pastor and his wife, Randy and Steve. And then a retired singer who I learned through this trial has performed for Reagan. And, you know, she's she was a cruise ship performer, a pretty cool woman, but she's, you know, retired now. And then a veteran, right? So there's six of us, pretty average people, just sitting there waiting to hear, are we going to be associated forever with the Ku Klux Klan law? And has the First Amendment gone completely down the toilet in our nation? Yeah. Or is there any kind of hope to hold on to? And so she reads, and the gentleman who received the guilty verdict under the Ku Klux Klan law, his name is Cisco Cisneros, and that's his nickname. His first name is Elias Czar. And so
he's the veteran?
Yes, sir. That's the veteran.
Okay.
And so they say, in the case of Elias Czar Cisneros, and then it reads the question, like, do you find that this defendant has violated the Ku Klux Klan law and conspiracy to intimidate, whatever, whatever? And it says, yes. And if answered yes, what is the amount of damages that is assigned or something like that? And it was $10,000. We've raised millions of dollars in legal fees up to this point between all six of us defendants, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a drop in the bucket. It's on principle that we need to win that.
And then
they continued to read. So there were three charges that were brought against all of us, Rick. So it was the Ku Klux Klan law for conspiracy. It was a Texas a civil assault law, because they said we used our vehicles like deadly weapons.
Oh my goodness. And then
I know. And then there was a third one. And I wish that I was articulate enough to describe all of these to you.
But you're incredibly articulate, but no, okay. That's fine. You're doing great. Yes.
So there were essentially 18 charges they had to work through for all six of us, for three each. The first one was the Ku Klux Klan. And so in retrospect, I see now that they were going law by law. We thought they were going person by person. So we're like, oh, man, like here it goes. Like we all are charged under the Ku Klux Klan law for conspiracy. And so they read, you know, Elias Czar Cisneros, yes. And then the Texas civil assault law, no. And then the next law, no. And then they hand the paper back to the judge and the judge is like, and with that, are there any objections or any, you know? And I'm like, I'm looking at the other like, what are they going to read in the case of Joey Lynn Massaros, in the case of Robert Massaros, right? And so we have no idea what's going on. Cisco's attorney gets up and objects and says essentially that he ought not to be found guilty and it would be in the judge's best interest to overturn the jury's decision to avoid an appeal, which is where it was headed next. And the judge, instead of saying that was denied, which he denied every other blessed thing we ever objected to this entire trial while the plaintiffs got every freaking thing that they wanted, he said, I'll take that into consideration. And he said, and with that, court is adjourned. And so we're like, what happened? What? Wow. And our attorney turns around and goes, oh, you're not guilty. And I'm like, I thought they were going to say Joey Lynn not guilty. Why didn't we say that?
Yeah. Where was our magical moment? We needed that announcement.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Where was that?
Yeah. We'll do a reenactment. Yeah.
Thank you. With the hammer, yeah. With the gavel. That'd be great because there was no gavel either. Yeah. And so, but then it was this conflicting emotional, you know, we wanted it to be completely across the board. We wanted every single one of us to walk out of there 100% win. But we all felt so encouraged, even Cisco, because Rick, you know, we already filed a writ of mandamus with the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. They said if we didn't like the jury outcome, they would intervene and uphold the law. And they encouraged us to do that. Not to mention, all of us were found not guilty, but just him. I mean, everything is stacked in the favor of that decision getting overturned. Plus, we know in their case with this judge, the Fifth Circuit overturns his decisions all the time. It was the Texas heartbeat bill before Roe v. Wade was overturned. And we know it was the same case with Bonnie Wallace and the library books, right? I mean, so because she had her case with the Fifth Circuit today as well. And so we know that getting it into their court will be favorable. And he knows that, which is why we believe that he took under advisement, potentially overturning that decision.
That's right. He might change it. Judgment notwithstanding what the jury did. What was the, was there factual difference? Like, did he drive different? I mean, what was their, did they present something different in his evidence that you think might have caused them to say, okay, we're going to throw a bone to the plaintiffs and give them this one charge?
Yes, I do. I do think that's what happened. And I'll give you four reasons why. The first reason being, one of the jury notes where we came in, because they wanted a clarifying question, the jury note said, we have come to an agreement on five of the defendants. We have a question about one that we cannot agree on. What do we do? And the instructions that went back to them were, well, it's either a mistrial or you can agree. They said, and we assumed at that point it was Cisco, and I'll explain why in a moment. They come back with another question and say, well, we're very unclear about the instructions 1 through 4. And you could tell by the context of what the questions were based on leaving reasonable doubt that because there was no cell phone discovery provided, that there could have been a conspiracy that you don't know about.
Oh my gosh.
They're like, do we have to consider that? Is that an instruction that we must? Right. And so they were very confused. It was very unclear. And in his case, now backing up the evidence that they brought against him to paint this picture of conspiracy, paired with ridiculous things like, you don't have to know anybody to engage in a conspiracy. You don't have to actually talk to anybody to be in a conspiracy. You can accidentally stumble into one and decide, hey, I enjoy that it looks like we're all trying to run the bus off the road. Yeah, I'm part of this now. You know, I mean, it's so ridiculous how they portrayed, I mean, they act like the jury doesn't have a brain, right? Yeah. And so, however, the instructions confused the jury. The jury is able to exercise common sense. We can see that with our five not guilty verdicts, but they were extremely confused. And so part of the other evidence that they brought against Cisco is that he was, I think, one of the first people to find out that this bus was coming to town. So, like, I found out about it a couple hours beforehand. He knew about it a few days beforehand. And he talked to somebody else about it. And there was an email communication there showing that they had spoken about it. I mean, nothing out of the ordinary, just, hey, the bus is coming through.
It wasn't that he, you know, got closer to the bus or any of that kind of stuff. It was just simply that he actually talked to people about having a Trump train, which should be perfectly fine, which also tells you, you said this earlier, why they actually, what they really wanted out of this. And back to you and I have had this conversation, what they really wanted was silence. They really wanted to intimidate y'all and ruin your lives so that they could intimidate me and everybody else in the world.
Right.
So that we wouldn't speak up. That's the whole deal.
Exactly.
So just the fact that he had communications with people about, we're going to go do a Trump train is insane. But I hear what you're saying. That would have confused enough to think.
Oh man, folks, we are just getting to the best part of the interview, but we got to push it to Thursday. Do not miss At the Core this Thursday. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Preborn celebrates that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states.
Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down. Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.